Thank you, everybody, for stopping in to another episode. We want to extend our appreciation to all those who have subscribed. Ooh, I said that like Charlamagne the God, but I'm going to continue on. To all the listeners, the people who have been liking and following our podcast and our social media platforms, we appreciate you guys' support. So let's get right to the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hot Seat Podcast with myself, Q, as one of your hosts, and
Flo, and where we're going to be honest, open, transparent, and any and all things that we discuss, because that is what Hot Seat is. That's what we stand on.
I wonder if we should ever enunciate Hot Seat.
Yeah, some people think it's a hot seat, but you know. It gets hot sometimes when you're in the seat.
Also true.
But let's transition to our first segment of today, which is story time. Now, story time is usually a fun time. Sometimes it's a lesson time. Sometimes it is an admission of not doing what you're supposed to do, and you have to confront that and then resolve it.
Oh, admission. I thought you said admission of.
Okay. So my story time is actually intriguing. I think it's kind of funny because when you bring a child into the world, there are certain things that you look forward to doing. There's a routine that you have thought up in your head. We'll still be able to do this and do that. But then you start to, once you get into it, you start to realize, you know, oh, I've been down this road before and I should have been better prepared to what is expected. Or what is to come, I should say. Mm-hmm. So, being a great father, you know, you are supposed to care for your child, and you enjoy doing it at times. Sometimes you don't because accidents happen. So accidents are not always at the fault of the father or the mother. Sometimes it is of the child. And so in this scenario, our child is sitting back, relaxed, chilling, getting catered to, because that's basically what happens with babies. Mm-hmm. They just look at you, smile, fart, pee, laugh, stare, cry. They just sit there and get catered to the entire time. So in this case, I needed to cater to my son's essential need of ensuring that he gets a brand new clean diaper. And I enjoy our human dog bed that I gifted us for our baby shower. And I decided to change that diaper. Mm. What?
Go.
Oh. So when you're changing the diaper, you got to be investigatory. And I said it that way intentionally. Don't look at me like that. You got to investigate. So to make sure you get all the nooks and crannies, all the creases and on all the rows. Make sure it's good and clean. So on the lean end is where you normally enter the danger zone. But for me, it's not a danger zone because it's never happened. I don't expect, I never plan for anything to happen while I'm down there. So this time, while I'm down there, I hear a little rumble in the jungle, but I'm like, it's okay, it's just his stomach moving. It makes noise every now and then. But then I hear that. So normally that's him getting ready to cry or he's getting ready to laugh. So on this occasion, it was him getting ready to laugh. And he laughs after he does this because he knows what's about to come. I just didn't know because I've never fallen victim to it. So I hear the and I'm just like, okay, anyways. So I'm like, okay, let me check this crease over here to the left. And so as I lean in, I just feel warmth because my eyes are immediately closed because I just, you know, I don't know what's happening. I open my eyes and then I see the splatter of doo-doo. And then I now know that there's
poo
on my face. Now, my eyes were closed, but that's not what should have been closed. Well, that what also should have been closed was my mouth, but my mouth wasn't closed. And so I got my mouth open, And I scream loudly. And Q walks in.
Oh, I thought you were going to continue.
Tell your side.
I didn't really have a side. I just walked in.
You did have a side.
I was like, what's wrong? Because he screamed. And then I realized what happened. So then I started laughing. Which leads me to believe, I don't think you could consider this an accident, seeing as how the baby was laughing.
Yeah, that's the whole point. He did it to me on purpose.
Yes.
But he's not supposed to do that to me, because he's never done that to me.
So, there's a first.
You've always been the target.
No, he's never pooped on me. He's never pooped on me. He's pooped while I've held him.
That
and he's peed on me.
And but he spit up.
Yeah, he spits up on me all the time and laughs. Yeah. But he's never pooped on me. Definitely not in my face. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Yeah, he got me down below, got me in my mouth, on my face, and I hollered.
It was.
And I screamed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. Get the baby so I can get the doo-doo off my face.
First of all, that's not how I laughed.
What?
I didn't point at you.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I just laughed.
Well, I felt you pointed at
me. No, I laughed.
Your laugh was loud enough that I saw you pointing.
No, I laughed and I asked, are you okay?
That's pointing.
I didn't go like this. I was like that.
Anyway, semantics. But that's the story time. I got doo-doo on.
No.
By being a dutiful father, I got doo-doo on.
You?
I what?
So, I'm not going to say it exactly, but you'll get it. You got poo-faced. You get it?
Yes.
It was funny because the baby was laughing
yeah.
Afterwards.
He started laughing. He thought it was funny.
It was a planned.
Like, this is not funny. So now, I have my hazmat suit on every single time I go downstairs to change his diaper.
You're hilarious.
Oh my gosh. But let's go ahead and transition to our topic of today. So that is going to be the title of the episode also, which is Me is Less Than We. We is greater than the me. And so what we want to do is we want to break down the difference. So that way we can explain and elaborate on how we is greater than me.
I would just like to say that we will share a difference of opinion on certain things. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get to the we, me definition. The we, me. The me definition from my point of view.
Yeah, that was W-E-E. Be like, little me.
Hilarious. It's a we, me. But not the whole me.
Oh, that would be the baby.
Hilarious. Hilarious. But, okay, so when it comes to me, so me, for me, has a hint of selfishness mixed in there. From my personal experience, there is a individualistic perspective on things because you're focused on what it is that you need to obtain, what you're trying to achieve, what you're trying to do throughout your day. And you develop that through experience, which is trials and error on what works for you and what doesn't work for you. What's your routine going to be to achieve whatever those individual goals may be? And do it throughout that entire process, you're getting to understand more of yourself, like your own powers,
Oh, I thought you were going to say limits. Your own power.
Well, that, your own, I guess, your own strength, your own power, but your own limits. How far are you going to exercise that strength that you have to where this is now your limit? But you've pushed so hard that now you have a new limit. And what that daily routine, it's, when I think of this, it takes me back to like high school when you get to learn about different characters and you're reading about them, you have to write essays, and there's a difference between a dynamic and a static character. A static character doesn't necessarily change. You just fall in that routine. This is what it is. Predictability. You know exactly where flow is going to be at this time because he's doing the same thing every single time, which is a good thing because that, you know, that shows a little bit of commitment and discipline to be able to do things in a repetitive motion every single day. But when you're trying to transition to something else, it's not necessarily a good thing. What do you think?
I do not believe that the me entity or the self entity is selfish in most cases. It only becomes selfish when you're thinking about a collective. So when you transition from me solo to we grouping or pair, that is when that type of mentality, that behavior becomes selfish. But if it is just you, if you are single, high school or younger, whatnot, some in college, some older than that, out of college, you're single, it's not selfish. You are the only person you have to take care of. So you're not being selfish. You're just taking care of yourself.
I guess I should clarify.
It's different because of the context around the thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I do agree that it, you know, being in the me stage, in the self stage, you are learning yourself, learning your characteristics. I don't necessarily think that it is a state of being static as far as character and characteristics, because also, hopefully, in that time, you will learn your strengths, your weaknesses, you will evolve and grow and become a better self, a better person.
That's a key word.
Yes, become a better person so that when you do, or if you do, find another individual that you want to be with or be around, then you are the best you, and that is something you don't have to bring into the relationship. You don't have to bring, I have all of this stuff that I still have to work on, but we are also going to be together and try to figure out that as well.
So we can transition to we.
Yeah, we is our staple. That's where we are supposed to be living, which is in the universe of transition. Blending together two individuals to make one whole, which is never easy, but doable if people are willing to not be static and listen to what others are saying and adjust to what they've learned. That is basically what being a we is.
Oh, my God.
Let me see what else I've been saying. Because hopefully you've taken the time to know who you are as an individual, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, your counterpart will not necessarily be the opposite exactly, but they will be stronger in those areas where you are weaker. They tend to usually be weaker in the areas where you are stronger, which is why people who come together to build life together, a life together, complement one another in such ways. That's why they say two halves of the same whole. So, with that being said, what was I going to say? That allows the individuals to create whatever type of relationship that works best for them. So, you know, not having traditional roles in a marriage or household duties or anything like that. You come together as individuals. You see what works best and what doesn't. Again, not easy, takes time. There are adjustments, there are growing pains, there are all of the things. But you're able to work together. You're able to hear one another. And rather than that, listen and take action together. And that's the whole thing. It's a partnership, a symbiotic partnership. I need you, you need me. We work together like protons, neutrons, and electrons. What?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which is why you should live first.
I'm just being funny, but the reality is this transition from me to we is never going to be easy. As you can see, there are going to be areas that need improvement. So as you guys got to witness one of mine, and I'm going to say this, it might seem like I'm a hypocrite, but it's true. I'm learning. Have to be more of a dynamic individual, being able to adjust and change your ideology, your sometimes your how you're going to achieve your goals in life, because now there's a we involved. You got to take that time to be the individual that the person that you're joining with and creating this we needs, so that way there's success. And we talk about it all the time, which is what this podcast stands on, which is honest, open, transparent communication. You're going to need that in order to build that trust in we. Because again, without trust, there is no us. It's just TRT, and what is that? So we want to be, well, Turk, I don't trick. But either way, that is essential and that's important. It's building that trust. When you're transitioning over, you should be communicating, exposing whatever those weaknesses are that you talked about, because the strengths are going to be recognized during the dating process, seeing the compatibility, how we can make this work, building the emotional connection between you two. And also, while you're doing that, building the we, building the trust, you got to unlearn your individualistic perspective to a certain degree. Because just because you're married doesn't mean who you are is now an apparition. You're still you, but you're bringing your you to the we to create something that's stronger, that's built to last.
Make
sense?
Understand what you're saying. I do not agree with that portion. I do not believe you have to unlearn your individualistic perspectives, because that is who you are. Now, you may compromise on certain things because mm-hmm. you are no longer just you. Mm-hmm. There is somebody else there. But that doesn't mean that you unlearn everything, because then you won't know who you are.
Yeah. But I didn't say everything. I said some things.
Let me give an example to a degree.
So let me give an example based on real life experience. I can no longer raise Yvonne in the way that I want to raise Yvonne. I can't do that. My idea, my path on raising this child, I can't do that anymore, because there's a we. I have someone here to help me, and she, Q, my wife, can offer a different perspective on how to reach her Yvonne, because she's here to help. Just like I'm there to help with Ray. It's a different perspective on how we could bounce off one another and create this brand new how to raise successful, independent, strong women and men.
Men.
Ooh, jeez. Gotta get used to it. Men. So that's what I mean. So you can't be like, oh, this is my way. This is the way, the path I set for Yvonne. She's running down this. You're not going to get in the way of it. Like, no, it's not that. So unlearning some of those things.
Which is actually compromising, because you didn't unlearn it, but you did compromise on, okay, you do things different. That's different thought. I didn't think about that. And then you make a choice. Am I going to include that, or am I going to ignore you like you're a wall? Compromised.
Touche.
Yeah.
Point taken.
Thank you.
But my other point with creating the we would be, what was I going to say? Oh, knowing your position. So knowing your role within the relationship. That's done through constant learning and communication, because you're going to stumble along the way. So struggle for me is making sure that there is physically prepared food, as in me cooking.
I would say physically prepared food. How else do you prepare food? Like,
so it's hilarious. Because if the kids need to be fed or whatever the case may be, I don't feel like cooking. I'm just going to eat the bullet and we're just going to get something to eat.
Bite the bullet? What did I say? I know you're going to eat, but you're not going to eat the bullet. You're going to bite the bullet.
Oh, I must be hungry. Not eat the bullet. I'm not hungry. Give me that leg. Anyways. That's what I'll do. But yeah, we got chicken probably thawed out, had it prepped, ready to go. And I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. Let me go ahead and just get something to eat. But that's not our plan. That's not our goal. Our goal is to cook the food that's in the house, which is going to automatically, well, it doesn't change the bill as far as financially is concerned, but it does limit the amount of trash that ends up piling up that needs to be taken out. And it also decreases the amount of funds that you have in your account when you got food here to cook, which you went out to eat. So knowing your role, knowing the position that you need to play based on the circumstances, situation, your relationship or marriage is in. So that would be like really knowing your role and then actually doing it.
Yeah, I'm saying, no, knowledge is awesome, but some things that you're knowledgeable about require action, which is even better.
Yeah, the application. And I must say, when certain situations, when I'm on a pretty good run, the relationship tends to flow a lot easier when there's a lot of application being done.
That's so crazy. I don't understand how you would even come up with that relationship between you applying knowledge that you've learned that is beneficial for you and the family.
Yeah.
And then things being better. That's, wow.
I know. It's just, I'm learning this. This is a revelation.
Like, it's like an epiphany.
Which leads me to, so why won't you just do it every day? It should be easy then. Well, the difficulty is in being stubborn. I'm just going to say that. Because I can't put the onus and blame on anyone else. But there is a level of traditional description.
Traditional?
I was going to say descriptors, but I'm like descriptions. Roles? Ideology. So I didn't know which word I wanted to go with.
So you decided. You decided to shorten the word instead?
No. Traditional description. I heard you wanted to say something, but I was like, stop talking so she can speak. So I guess I was that robot that is slowly losing its power.
Sure.
So go ahead. How to do better?
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say, but this time, because that was funny. What were you just saying?
All right, let me rewind. So, why won't you be consistent in delivering what is needed so there'd be a seamless, relationship, because you're meeting the needs, you're handling the role that needs, you're playing the role to the best of your ability, and you out there just giving triple, quadruple, doubles, all in the paint every single day. And I was leading towards, breaking the traditional roles, responsibilities, and ideologies, that is not entirely on how you were raised, because at some point there's a realization that, okay, I'm choosing to lead this direction rather than lean this direction.
That's interesting. To that point, that sounds so familiar, like somebody brought that up to you recently.
I did.
That they heard that.
I did.
From something.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah.
I said it a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, lean back. Mm-hmm. On the own understanding. No, I was playing.
Exactly. I do remember what I was going to say. I was going to say that the reason you, not necessarily you, but the general you, people, population, human beings.
What you mean, you people?
Anyways. Do not do the things you know you're supposed to do consistently would be the selfish aspect of the me thought process. And that's why I say me, when you're single, is not selfish. It's just taking care of yourself. But when you are with someone, having that me mentality is selfish. I know that we talked about, you know, making chicken and this, that, and the other. And I know that you set the chicken out so it can be made because you were going to work. I just got food, though. I picked it up because I didn't want to cook. That's the selfish.
We still ate, though.
Which, yes, but that is not the point.
I know.
But so that's what I was going to say. It's just that in those instances, the reason behind that is selfishness. Mm-hmm. That's where I believe. Mm-hmm. Somebody else might have a different opinion. You may have a different opinion. But I believe in those instances, that is when you are thinking of yourself and being selfish rather than the collective we. And especially when you are not just a pair, but you are a pair who have counterparts, in our instance, 4 children. That you're thinking about, I don't want to, so I'm not going to.
Yes.
So that's where selfishness comes into play.
I agree.
But
I believe, getting back to the traditional conversation.
Hold on. I did want to say, I found that, I found it interesting how you put knowing your role. Because I don't believe that, in the case of the two of us, I don't remember us assigning roles or deciding that there were going to be roles. No, in the beginning, not...
I'm about to say we did a whole episode on it.
Not that episode where we're like, no, I'm this and you're that, and not that episode, but like when we first embarked on this journey.
No, we did not have that conversation.
I don't. Yeah, so I found that interesting.
We didn't have a sit down and be like, you know what? You handle the food. I ain't cooking a net unless I feel like we didn't have that conversation.
No, because I do. Specifically remember that we were supposed to be cooking. Yeah, I do remember that.
As far as the definitive, going back to that, since you brought it up, paperwork. You knew that one. I don't do paperwork.
Yeah, that was so irritating.
I don't do paperwork.
You're telling me I have to fill out my stuff, the kid's stuff, and your stuff? You're a whole adult.
I'll sign it.
What?
I'm not like paperwork.
Yeah, that
like Tony Stark, don't hand me stuff.
That's stupid.
I do not like paperwork. All right, traditional. I think to, I'm going to make this general. Even though we can apply a little bit of race to it, to the equation, I'm just going to take it all the way out. Let me be general.
Okay.
I think we as in men, talking about men, have somewhat confused our thought process on marriage in comparison to the time that we live in. So we either brought up, saw, witnessed, or trained, coached, whatever, saw a lot of the traditional ideology.
A lot of what would be considered traditional.
Yes. So that would be the man provides, protects, he goes out, does what he needs to do, comes back home, and basically all he needs to do is eat, relax, maybe have fun with the kids, you know, smash at night, go to bed, and do it all over again. And while you're gone, mom is taking care of the kids, getting the schoolwork done, taking them to school, maybe taking them to the soccer games or baseball game, football, basketball, whatever, comes back, makes sure the kids' lunch is done for the next day, cooks dinner, cleans the house, does the laundry, all of that stuff. I think we, for some reason, as men, try to stick to that so much. And I think it's slightly embarrassing because considering my age and the times in which they were doing that was so far ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world are we still trying to get to that point? The economy's different. What men and women are able to do, it has completely changed. Like, it doesn't even apply anymore. It is literally obsolete. It's bad coding. Throw it away, discard it, put it in the trash box, and then when you open the trash box, delete it again. And then when you're done with that, go to the hard drive, erase it. And then once you erase that hard drive, take it out, throw it in the trash, burn it, and put the new hard drive in. That's updated to the version 2024.
Agreed.
Because I sometimes have that issue, or like, I don't, she needs to cook. But no, that's not what we talked about.
Agreed.
Why didn't she clean her side of the counter? My side of the counter clean? That's stupid. Clean the whole damn counter. What the hell? Why would you? How? And then leave the rest? What sense does that make? And then you say, do we do half work, huh, kid? No. We do 100%. We don't get F's. Meanwhile, upstairs, half the bathroom closet, counter is clean. The other side, you can see the line difference. Like, come on. It ain't that bad, y'all. But I'm just being
not
figurative. It ain't that dirty.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell it went from this dark to that. It ain't that bad, but just like, come on, man. What is wrong with you? So yeah, there's a struggle, which is why I'm emphasizing the word dynamic. Got to change. You gotta change, because each year we change it. So you got to evolve. You gotta evolve. And by doing that, that's supporting each other.
I agree with all of that. I agree 100%. It makes no sense. I agree. We are in the year 2024. I am not the only person who knows how to cook, nor am I the only person who should be cooking. Because, again, that we definitely did not agree on.
No.
I'm not the only person who is parenting children. Or at least I shouldn't be. Like, yes.
Oh.
Yes, I agree.
And you know what makes me worse? I was raised on how to cook, how to clean. How am I all of a sudden going to be like, I ain't doing that? What was the point of my parents taking the time out to teach if I'm not going to, keyword, apply?
Maybe you need to meditate and figure it out.
Need to listen to Man in the Mirror. Good Lord, have mercy. Got to do better.
I do think that it is I do think it's interesting that not only that you've acknowledged that you've noticed all of these things and that you've called yourself trash for doing the things that you've noticed, and I'm assuming somewhere in your body, your brain, your heart, you decided to change that behavior. I think it is interesting that all of those things have occurred at some point, culminating in this moment.
It is culminating in this moment.
That's what I'm saying. It's culminating in this moment. And I have decided in this year to enforce me in our we atmosphere. Not that I am not going to clean. I am not going to cook. I'm not going to be stopping and just letting all the things go that I do, but I am absolutely going to pull back a little bit and focus more on myself.
That's good. I love that for you.
You sure? Because that means that someone's going to have to pick up the slack.
Hey, the thoughts in my head is like, that's like you cleaning like the toilet door, but you ain't going to clean
the lid?
Yeah, the lid, but you ain't going to clean the bowl out.
Oh, that's what Achilles does. Actually, no. He does it in reverse. He cleans the bowl part because we have the little Clorox cleaners, but he won't actually clean like the seat.
That's like me vacuuming my side of the room and not the whole room. All of this is just coming to my head right now. It doesn't make any sense. None.
No.
Wow. Revelation right here in this podcast. Well, that leads me to the question. No, that leads me to the thought that we is greater than me. And this, hopefully, is an example as to why. Because I probably would not have had this revelation had there not been a we.
I can see that too.
And revelations are good for self-growth, self-improvement, self-development, and motivation to continue to do the things that make the relationship flow better. A lot easier. Mm-hmm. More seamless.
They say you catch more bees with honey. The honey would be you doing the things you know you're supposed to be doing consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the honey do list. Yes.
Exactly.
Focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm. I know. You want to sit in that for a minute and just let it seep and soak in?
Oh,
a deep breath.
It's soaking. I feel like there's acid just burning away all the me badness. But anyway, can there be a me and we? And the answer to that is yes. Your relationship should not put you in a position to compromise who you are as a person. It should put you in a position to improve who you are as a person, to help you achieve the things that you set out in life. Because, again, it isn't a submissive type relationship. There isn't a subordinative type of relationship. It's a partnership. And when two individuals, two companies come together, they merge the acquisitions. That brings a greater value to the company. That brings in more resources to the company to be able to give and to do more for the people in the company and the services that they provide to the people. Same thing in the marriage. More resources, more knowledge, greater realization of self so that you can improve, to help grow this family the way you've always wanted your family to grow.
I completely understand what you're saying, and I do agree to a point, because as I'm going to reiterate my previous statement, I'm focusing more on me. So even though all of that is true and right, I am still going to be taking the time to focus more on me, because as a lot of women, especially those who are mothers or mothering children, will come to know, find out, experience, it is very easy to lose your self-care from being single when you become a we, and especially when you add on children and other life responsibilities.
Putting the cart before the horse and trying to push it forward.
What?
Is that what you're pretty much saying?
What?
You're talking about you're losing your self-care. So you're basically
I thought putting the cart before the horse was...
What am I trying to say? Providing a visual image of what you're talking about. Talk slow, then you can get your thought across. Is you basically putting the carriage before the horse. So you're pretty much making things difficult for you, because you're still got to push down that road to meet the needs of people, but it would be a whole lot easier if that carriage was behind the horse, taking care of yourself, making it easier for you to be able to go down the road.
So, I just want to say,
you're making it hard on yourself by neglecting yourself, because then now all the other things that you're responsible for is a little bit more difficult to get to or to handle, because you're sleeping, you're tired, because you keep putting everybody first, and you ain't put you in there.
I just want to say that I love how you use that analogy or metaphor. Is that considering?
It doesn't matter.
I love how you use that.
That's the word I was looking for.
What?
And I'm over here, visible. This metaphor. God.
I love how you use that metaphor to make your point, which I do agree with. However, that's not the right one, because putting the cart before the horse is basically betting on, I'm going to have this, but you haven't done the work to get it. Well, like, you don't know.
We can redefine things. It's okay.
Which, as you're talking, I'm like, wait, but doesn't that mean, which is why I started laughing.
Take the meaning out of it. Walk down this road.
But yes, I have a tendency to put, because it is in my nature to help and serve others. I have a tendency to help and serve others and put their needs ahead of my own, even to the point of being debilitated. So I am sick, I am hurting, I'm in pain, I am exhausted, and it is dangerous for me to do, but I'm still going to do because you guys need it. So yes, I am going to do better at that and be kinder to myself and take better care of myself, so that I can in turn take better care of my responsibilities in the role that I play as wife, mom.
Mm-hmm. You gotta build your muscles up. You gotta get your strength up.
My only hesitation. Well, so going back to the can there be a me in we? Yes. However, my hesitation with the me in the we, because I'm trying to establish a me in the we, is how that transition is going to look and affect everybody else. And if I'm going to be successful or not, and not allow the difficulties with that transition to push me back into not caring for myself the way I need to.
Gotcha. I love that you threw that alley-oop. I'm finna slam dunk it right here. The transition from me to we.
Sir.
Is nothing but elevation of self-growth. So that means I have to have the ability to put you first, have empathy, extend grace, seek understanding to help you carry the load. That's the value of why we is greater than me.
I'm going to need for you to reiterate that. However, I just want to say, you have used so many sports references, basketball mainly, and I did not understand that last one.
Well, I said carry the load because that.
No, the alley-oop, I'm a slam dunk. I don't know what an alley-oop is.
That means you throw the ball up in the air, I catch it, and I dunk it.
That's a very fancy name for throwing the ball. That's what you're supposed to do when you're trying to make a shot anyways, right?
But you're not doing that this time. You're throwing it to your teammate.
Oh, so I'm throwing it to someone, not at the...
No, you're throwing it to me, not to someone.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, in general...
Give me the ball.
In general, playing the game, you throw... You're passing it.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I was like, so basically you don't think I can make the shot, so you're like, let me tuck it in.
No, that is not it.
That's where my head was, but you, like
that's
I said, it was a little...
I'm hurting the team at that point.
Like, so there were a lot. So what did you say after the, when you, for your slam dunk?
You almost went to specials first.
Yes.
No, so I'm... The alley-oop is this, because you express some little bit of concern.
Yes.
On being like, I need to take the time to, you know, to build my strength up, you know, whatever that looks like internally or externally.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can feel I guess, healthier, better, whatever the case may be, handling everything that you have to handle, you got to take a step back. So I'm just saying that that's where the we is greater than me. Because when we talk about the we, it's building trust. Mm-hmm. It's having that trust in one another, knowing your role, knowing what it is that you need to do, what you need to carry, because there's transitioning going on. So the ability to put another first and to have empathy, extend that grace, and to seek understanding of someone else, of another. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You slam dunk it, because without those things, without that understanding, without that trust, without knowing your role, without understanding why there needs to be, you need the time to
empathy in the grace.
So that means that's trigger for them, husbands, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever the case may be, it's time for us to, you know, put a little bit more on our back because we're here to support.
Okay.
So there is no concern. There is no worry. There is no fear. There is no, what's going to happen? Because, you know, your significant other got your back because you developed that trust.
Okay.
You see growth.
Okay. Got it.
That's why we is greater than me. I'm saying it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, question. Does this thought
mm-hmm.
only, is it only to be assigned to marriages or people in relationships? Or is it any type of relationship?
you said relationship twice. Hold on.
Yeah.
You said marriage or relationship?
Well, because some people are not yet married, but they're in a committed relationship and they're headed towards
marriage. Oh, okay. So you're talking about
marriage or relationship.
Man, woman.
Or any type of relationship.
Any type of relationship.
I am so glad you said that.
Yeah, it's all types of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Like a
father, daughter,
and sister-in-law. Just throwing something out there.
Brother, sister, doesn't matter.
Okay.
All types. All types of relationships.
Okay.
But we're going to get to the whining, dramatic, whiny baby dog named Hades.
Yes, because he hears us, but he doesn't see us, and he's in his room, and it's just not fair.
No, I need to be next to mommy. Because he's trying to get to her. He don't want too much care for me as much.
He just wants to be out.
Oh, well, that too. Well, we thank you guys for joining another episode of the Hot Seat Podcast. We cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say about this one. Because, like we said, we're honest, open, transparent in our communication. That is what Hot Seat stands for. That's what this podcast is, which is why you got to see all that extra. Because I am not spending the time to edit like that, unless it's the throw in of a random clip that I may think is funny. But beyond that, you get it all. Kind of, because Patreon, they get extra stuff. But anyways, we thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Peace.
See ya.